Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn. Don't as I live.
Know where you're going, but don't know how to get there? You found the rabbit hole, Alice. From free bars, apartment hunting, and sending out your demo, he's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
All right, welcome to the fifth episode of Starving Artist's Guide. I'm your host, Johnny Sanford. Today we'll be talking about music. If you're a musician down in New York City area, this is the show for you. We're going to go over how to send out your demo, what to include in your demo, who's going to take your demo. Maybe even I'll add some addresses or something to people who do take it demos. Also, we're going to talk about what to watch out for. Sometimes, I mean, not everyone out there is nice. Not everyone out there is looking for your best interests. So we're going to look for the warning signs of getting someone who doesn't necessarily have your best interest at heart as far as music goes. So we're going to start with a little article I found in the Rolling Stone, the latest edition of Rolling Stone, and it's about Pearl Jam, who is one of my favorite bands. I've seen them a couple times, some at MSG, some in Albany. I think that's it. But they're incredible live. And, you know, they're one of those kind of make it on their own groups. They started in the early 90s, late 80s. And, you know, they lived in Seattle. They just threw out their demo and finally it got picked up. I believe that Eddie Vedder was a bum. He was a beach bum. He didn't have a house. He lived on the beach in a tent before he made it with Pearl Jam. And now he pretty much probably does the same thing. I know he wanted to be a professional surfer. And he's friends with, like, Kelly Slater and all the professional surfers. And he still goes out there all the time. But now he has a multi-million dollar house right by the ocean, which maybe someday you too will have, just by sending out your demo today. In 20 years, you might be doing the same thing. So, it goes, Pearl Jam to release new LP in 2009 by Brian Hyatt. In their Seattle rehearsal space, beneath the portrait of Pete Townsend and a giant Ramones banner, Pearl Jam have been hard at work on songs for their ninth studio album, which they plan to release on their own in the U.S. without a label. The band will soon begin recording with producer Brendan O'Brien and hopes to release the still-untitled disc by the fall. The new record feels good so far. Really strong and up-tempo stuff we can sink our teeth into, says Vedder, who's seen his songwriting shift direction since the election. I've tried over the years to be hopeful in my lyrics, and I think it's going to be easier now. That's my Eddie Vedder impression. He's got the most ridiculous voice. It's a dark, deep baritone. And that's something that has made him, or made them in the band, into the band that they are. You know, on a side note, I think, just talking about people's side jobs, and I know that he worked with Chris Cornell in Temple of the Dog, and he used to be a gas station attendant, Chris Cornell, and he worked in a fish market and gas station attendant. So it's really possible to, like, kind of turn your life around from the rock bottom. I don't know if they even considered themselves the rock bottom. They didn't know how high they could go, though. Well, I guess maybe they did know. That's how they did it. They had belief in themselves. So that's my, I guess that's my point. And not only that, Pearl Jam, who are also releasing a deluxe issue of their 1991 debut 10 on March 24th, have been working towards a self-released album since 2002, when they wrapped up their contract with Epic Records and became free agents. For their last release, 2006 Pearl Jam, they struck a one-off distribution deal with J Records. But this time, the band will handle everything themselves in the States. We'll make the deals with a number of partners, retail, online, and probably mobile, too, says their manager. The cool thing is, as the record companies are kind of dying, the opportunities are growing. Now, I'm just going to go out on a tangent here, and I mean, I guess the whole tangent is this episode, but the record companies are dying, so you can look at it two ways. One, you'll never make as much money as they used to make, which is true, because the days of having, like, superstars like Pearl Jam, almost, or Madonna, or U2, are pretty much over. It's really hard to get that status, and I don't even think I want it, or you should want it, because it's a phantom menace, man. I don't want paparazzi outside my house 24 hours a day. But the record companies are dying, so it's giving independent artists like a huge opening, and we can either storm the gates or we can sit back and do nothing. And I'm pretty sure that all musicians have already decided to storm the gates, starting with Radiohead, because they kind of they opened the gate. Or they climbed the gate and let us in with the key. They threw the key back over with their release of In Rainbows last year. And I'm going to play a cut off In Rainbows if I can find it on my computer. And this is one that not everyone got. It's off their second CD of In Rainbows. And it's called 4-Minute Warning. It's like the most beautiful B-side I've ever heard. So let me play that right now. Enjoy. 4-Minute Warning. Radiohead. Okay, that was In Rainbows, 4 Minute Warning. A little side note on that song, particular song. 4 Minute Warning comes when they've already set off all the nuclear bombs, and they've sent them to their various destinations, and they're in the air. The 4 Minute Warning comes when you find that out, and you realize that you're dead, but you still have 4 minutes to live. So a very chipper song from our friend Tom York. You may ask yourself, Johnny, why are you playing, you know, a band that is as big as Radiohead? Like, I've gotten some interesting feedback on the songs already. Because I'm playing fairly, well-known. Well, not always well-known, but, like, I try to keep it a little underground. But these are all bands that have already made it. And this is my call out to any local bands that want to get on the show. I want to have you on the show. So you got to send an email to me, starvingartistquestions@gmail.com. And you can get that link on my website. Because I want to have local bands on this show. I just haven't had the people call or tell me that they want to yet. I'm still working on getting this place to be bigger. Until then, I'm going to be playing some pretty awesome music. But that was just a side note. So if you want to get on the show, it's pretty easy. All you have to do is just tell me that you want to get on it. And if I like your music, even if I don't like your music, I don't really, well, I do care. I want it to sound good. I'll find something to like about your music, probably, though. Especially if you're down here trying. You probably have had the filters put on already by your friends and family. If they don't like what you're doing, why would you be down here in the first place? So anyways, back to Radiohead. They broke open the door last October. I believe it's last October. Yeah. No, wait. Hold on. I guess of October of 2007? Huh. All right. Well, I have the particular Rolling Stone where it has Mr. Tom York's wonderful face on it. And it goes into a really big story about how they kind of came up with it. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I really think this story is very pivotal in its breaking open the wall between artist and listener. So it starts, well, it's not going to start, I'm just going to paraphrase it, start in the middle here. In Rainbows, Radiohead's seventh album, was released in October, and any talk of its content was immediately overshadowed by its method of delivery. As everyone knows, the band, in a surprise announcement, decided to release the album as a download on its website, where fans could pay whatever they wanted, anywhere from nothing to £100, about $212. Though Radiohead have refused all requests to release official numbers, even estimates of the online survey group ComScore estimated that the band dismisses as low would make the experiment a success. According to ComScore, a significant percentage of 1.2 million visitors to Radiohead's website in October downloaded the album, and while ComScore claims only 2 out of 5 downloaders paid anything, the payers averaged $6 per album. I paid $5. So that's a pretty good good estimate. Factoring it in the freeloaders, it works out to about $2.26 per album. More than Radiohead would have made in a traditional label deal. Now, let's get into how much independent artists with nothing behind them. Radiohead has a track record of success, and they're going to get less than $2.26 album. How much do you think that you're going to get? You're going to get, I don't know, 10 cents? 15 cents? I mean, Radiohead has had Grammy after Grammy, hit after hit, and they've been in the game since the, like, 1987. So, from 87 to 2007, and they're still not making $2.26 cents per album. Now, let me go into how much you'd make in a digital download for 99 cents. Say you got an album on iTunes through CD Baby for $9.99, which is what most go for. You are going to make 91% of that. 91% of all digital sales. So on an album, they're gonna, if you're using a CD Baby and someone buys your album from the actual store, like a physical copy, they keep $4 just for holding it, holding your CD. Whatever kind of CD, it could be an LP, EP, whatever. They're gonna keep $4. So if you have a, if you sell it for 10, you're gonna make about $6. I do have to mention that of that 91%, 9% of your digital sales are gonna go to you, but that's not entirely true because iTunes, since it has such a grasp on the network, on like consumers, is gonna keep about 30%. So you're getting back about 60% of your initial download. So for every dollar download you sell, you're going to get about 65 cents back. But still, that is incredible compared to how much you would get in a deal with a record company. The flip side is a record company is going to promote you. They're going to set up gigs for you, whatever. You're going to have a fan base. But, I mean, you don't really... You can do all that stuff pretty much yourself these days on MySpace, on... there's a couple others. I can mention them on later in the cast. I don't have them offhand. There's Pure Volume. There's one like My Live Band or something. What is it? I'll figure it out. I'll get back to you guys. So anyways, let's get back into... So Radiohead, they're going to make $2.26 per album. That's how much about they made. They probably made more by now. I don't know if they won a Grammy or not. Probably. I don't see why not. They totally were... And it's a great album, too. Only Tom York can make such like a whine into such a great sound. I don't know. He's whining the whole time. But I love him. I saw him live, him and Johnny Greenwood live in a very small venue in 2006, and they played some songs. It was their first live show since their last album, which was Hail to the Thief in 2006. So it was their first show in 2 years, and it was an incredible album. Well, my friend in London when I was there. So they do rock, and that was an awesome show. Anyway, so the download plan was hatched by Radiohead's manager Chris Hufford and Bryce Edge when they were a bit stoned, notes guitarist and multi-instrumentalist Johnny Greenwood, during the long gap between Hail to the Thief, which marked the end of the band's major label recording contract, and In Rainbows. So they were stoned when they came up with this groundbreaking idea. The two have managed Radiohead from the beginning, when the band was still called On a Friday, playing Oxford pubs. The download idea was partly a response to the fact that every Radiohead album since Kid A in 2000 had leaked in some form online. Let me just get to Tom York's like main quote here. He says, If I die tomorrow, I'll be happy that we didn't carry on working within this huge industry that I don't feel any connection with. But the idea wasn't to make a big, significant statement. I mean, We knew it would be messing with things a little bit, but we just wanted people to get the album to people. We just wanted to get the album to people who had been waiting patiently for 4 years. I really thought it would be a splash in a little pond, but it was surprising how much the media picked up on it. So that's an interesting idea. I mean, they weren't trying to do it, but they did it anyways. And now, it's just totally had a whirlwind effect. It was like a butterfly that created a hurricane in chaos theory. And, I don't know. Now it's just opened the door for everyone. You realize that you can make money. I've made money online. People from New Zealand, from UK, from Canada have bought our albums online, which you can get through iTunes just by looking up Johnny Sanford, or The Big Nothing, which is my side project with Sean Keneally. And it's kind of, it's hard work, and you don't have the publicity machine that Radiohead does, just because they already have their name out there. But, it can be done. So, you just gotta put it out there. If you build it, they will come. So what we're gonna do today, I'm gonna play another song, and we'll get back to you guys, and we will go into kind of like trying to get your foot out in the door of the traditional system. Because independent stuff, it will get you so far as having it out there so that people can take it or can buy it. But you really, in order to make it, you kind of need you need to build a fan base. You need to have publicity. You need to have promotion. And you can't really do that on your own, per se. It's kind of like, what's a good analogy here? Okay, I know. It's kind of like trying to build a rocket from home. Or just contacting NASA and asking them to borrow one that they've built. They just have the infrastructure. They have the tools that you need to get really big. We're also going to go over what goes into a PR kit. Kind of like where you can find out how to contact all these people, some resources, some tools, and while you're throwing that stuff out there, also kind of doing it yourself in the meantime. So, this is Cape Canaveral by Connor Oberst. I saw him last fall. He did play the song, and it was an awesome song, so enjoy.
Shining wild colors of my destiny. taught me victory sweet, even deep in the cheap seats.
All right, we're back. That was Connor Oberst, Cape Canaveral, of his 2008 solo debut entitled Connor Oberst. That was a departure from his work with Bright Eyes, but it's still good. I really like it. So now we're going to get into trying to promote yourself, the ins and outs to the entertainment business. Now, this is all hypothetical. I mean, I have had some A&R guys contact me. So, it does work. It does work. You just have to be very careful. You got to make sure that you're going to look at everything you're going to sign. I've gotten stuff. If you use this thing called Sonic Bids, you can just do this. I'll get into that later. But, basically, if you're a musician down in New York City, there's a couple things you gotta do. You gotta create a fan base. You gotta play gigs. You gotta make a CD and promote it and sell it. And you gotta promote your shows. And then hopefully it will create a scene. And you gotta network and make friends, so that they will help you out. So first, you're going to want to create a website. Now, I've kind of gone into this on my website. I'm not really a fan of HTML. I'm not a very good programmer. So I would recommend starting with MySpace. Or purevolume.com, myspace.com, purevolume.com. These are free. They're easy to use. You'll get your music out there. And at the very least, you can say, oh, check out my MySpace. Here's my card. So that's the first way you get people interested. Actually playing out. If you can't, I mean, there's, you gotta just Google open mic nights, New York City. Or you can also go to a place like a thing like The Village Voice, Time Out New York. And they list where you can go to an open mic. And there are open mics every night of the week that you can go to. So find a place that will kind of, you won't be out of sorts. I mean, I played a show and I didn't kind of research it well enough. I should have gone to an open mic. And it ended up being me with my harmonica and acoustic guitar. And every other act was like hardcore rapping. And this is a true story. And I was like the middle of the set, like the middle of the open mic scene or whatever. Like there were two or three before me and like a bunch after me. And it was all like they were talking about Sticky Green. And I was up there doing my thing. And they actually liked it. It was kind of really fun and ridiculous. But it's a story, you know, that I get to tell. So, but I didn't make many friends that day. They liked my stuff, though. Anyways. But a good way to, like, kind of lose your fear of audiences and kind of hone your craft is to go out and play on the subway, play in, like, parks. You can go to, well, Washington Square Park is still under construction, but I believe it'll be done this summer. You can go to Union Square. That's where I go. I like it there. And you can just play in there. In the parks, and people will come and talk to you, and kind of lose fear of your stage fright. And you can also possibly make money. And there is the off chance that someone who works for a record company, which they do, and they are in New York City, that just happens to walk by, loves your sound, gives you his card, and you get signed. That happened to one of my friend's friends, who was just playing with his band in Washington Square Park a couple years ago, and an A&R dude saw him, loved it, and he got signed within like a couple weeks. So, it does happen, and getting out there is the first step. You're also going to want him. You could, at this point in the game, so many people have websites, so many people have MySpace that it's kind of losing its charm, and people are unfazed by it. So I feel like kind of making a scene around you, making a blog, making a podcast for whatever you love to do, and just like kind of showcasing your songs, which is exactly what I'm doing right now, is a good way to also get a fan base. So I would say have a blog. At least have a blog, if not a podcast. Or whatever it is that you want to do. Some people do Twitters. I don't have that technology. I don't think I want it. It sounds kind of stupid. But that's neither here nor there. You're going to want to start promoting yourself. You can go to Vistaprint.com for postcards, whatever you need, business cards, etc. And you're going to want to do that early enough, because they're free, but they take a really long time to get there to your house. So you got to do this in advance, and you got to think it out. Always have a card with your contact info, if not a CD that you can just give away. And this is where I did this a couple times, a couple podcasts ago, but make your own CDs. Do not have someone else make it for you, because it's the cheapest way, and this is very important, is just to do it yourself. So, and once you have some that you can give away, you can also sell them. You gotta play gigs, bring friends, put your stuff on the internet, digitalize it, put it on, go through cdbaby.com. There are others, I just haven't used them. And I find that CD Baby is reliable. They pay you well and on time. And they're not crooks. The internet is filled with crooks. Including myself. No, I'm kidding. But CD Baby will put your stuff on iTunes as well as many other places where people can stream it, and you'll make a little, like, 1/10 of a cent for every person who streams your music, which is cool. It adds up. The website I was thinking of earlier that I forgot is called mystage.com. Also, sonicbids.com. This one is an interesting website. You have to pay for it, but it gives you a lot of the things that that you can't get anywhere else. It gives you a lot of opportunities that you can't get anywhere else, and they update it every day. And usually it's like $2 to submit your stuff to a magazine for review. So it does help, and it's very easy, intuitive. They will set up an EPK, which is an electronic promotional kit. I'm going to talk about promo kits in a second, but another tip is to get managers and A&R and record labels interested by using Musician's Atlas or the Indie Bible. Now, these are both kind of expensive, but they will hopefully pay off in the long run. Musician's Atlas is something that you can get at your local Barnes & Noble. It's a yearly annual magazine that lists every single A&R manager, radio station, college radio station, record label, and their addresses, what kind of music they like, what kind they're accepting, if they're accepting. Very, very helpful. And it's $50. It's expensive. But you could just go, here's a little tip. You could just go to your local Barnes & Noble, sit in their cafe, copy out the ones that you want, and then just leave. Leave it there. You don't have to pay for it. Indie Bible you can get online as a PDF. I'll just leave it at that. Just look up IndieBible.com, probably. Promote yourself. Promote shows that you're doing using Village Voice, New York Press, Time Out Magazine. You can do this easily by going to their websites for free, and they will list your show on the day that it is. Very easy, very free. Just, you gotta navigate. A lot of it is kind of trial and error. So let's go into the promo package. Basically, what you want to include is your bio. Kind of list the things you've done, places you played, your discography. Try to build yourself up. Show them that you have a fan base. Tell them what kind of music you play. Keep it short, keep it simple, but entertaining. Next, you're going to want to keep it. You're going to want to send out your promo shot. This is just kind of an arty shot of yourself, your face, whatever. This can be very easy to get. All you got to do is have a nice picture of yourself. Doesn't have to be 8x10. Probably should be color, because these people see these every day. You kind of want to make yourself stand out in some way. Next, you're going to include your demo. I would keep it short, keep it simple. 3 songs, your best songs. Make them stand out. Make sure they're recorded well. Make sure the CD looks good. Has all your contact info. Everything has to have your contact info, by the way. Otherwise, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because if a person loses the bio or the pieces of paper that you include, but they have your CD, but it doesn't have your contact info, you're screwed. Because they'll just throw it away. They'll be like, oh, I like that song, but I don't have the contact info. So, goodbye. See you in the next lifetime. is what they will say. And that about pretty much covers what you include in your promo package. If I'm forgetting anything, I apologize. I will, this is going to go up on the website, so if I do forget anything, this will go there. Just a distillation of this podcast. So, let's take a little break, play some music. I'm going to play Kanye West, Get 'Em High, the Ratatat remix. Check it out. Get 'em high. All the bills pass the weed to your motherfucking man. Get 'em high. All right, that was Kanye, remixed by Ratatat. The Ratatat Remixes Mixtape Volume 1. Thank you, Kanye. Appreciate it. All right. So let's just do a recap and a distillation of what I've just said. So today I get my internet back. It's been over a week, and yet I've still maintained the website. Still trying to do it. Done it through the library, done it through my own house. I went home this weekend, took a little vacation. And I guess this does connect to it, because the internet is a huge force right now in making, breaking, and signing acts. And that's part of it. It's definitely something you can't escape. If you want to make a fan base, that's the first place to start, because you build the groundwork. MySpace, MyStage, Pump Audio is one, Pure Volume. Set them up, because I mean, then it's yours, you have it, at least. No one else is going to come around and take your name or take your songs. They can't really do that. That's illegal. But that's one part. But the second part is like the down and dirty. Go out every chance you get. Play open mics. Meet friends. Make connections. If you see someone that sounds like you do, has a good sound, makes you want to play with them, like, makes you feel like I could share a stage with this dude or this chick, talk to him, get their card, get their info, tell them what you like. Most artists have fragile egos, so you don't want to go up to them and be like, "Ah, you were great, but this song sucked," because you're just burning a bridge before you even cross it. Go up to them, tell them that you love their stuff. That's what you want to hear. Right? It's humbling. It's nice. And you make a friend just by getting up there and playing. So, you got to get out there. You got to be in the game to win it. Because it is a big game. Finally, I just want to make sure that anyone who wants their music or wants to be a guest on this show can email me, starvingartistquestions@gmail.com. I'm going to put that on Craigslist just to see if I get any bites. And hopefully I can start promoting kind of local music, because I know that there's a ton of it. I just have... I haven't had the internet in 2 weeks, so it's been kind of going slow right now. Today, hopefully this dude is going to come from Time Warner Cable and get me set up again. And so it's kind of a rainy day out, and I'm just going to end it with a little Bob, Rainy Day Women, numbers 12 and 35 from his album Blonde on Blonde. Thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to do these, and I hope they're being listened to. I know they are. So catch me next time. I will be doing an interview, hopefully, next time. So enjoy. Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35.